Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for a time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. I trust God that you are doing well, you and your loved ones. Hallelujah. It's a glorious day to be alive. God is so good. He's so faithful and kind. He's so merciful and gracious to us. Hallelujah. What a blessing, what a privilege to serve this God, to know this God, to be walking closely and intimately with this God. Hallelujah. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. I thank you wherever you are joining us from around the world and whatever platform you are joining us on tonight. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited about our time of study, our Bible study tonight. There's so much that I believe that the Lord is going to help us get into tonight. Last week, I know that He helped us to begin to put a lot of meat on the bone regarding this series of studies. This is our 10th session together on this series of studies on lessons that we have titled Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Glory to God. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. And I'm super excited. We're going to step into some things tonight and to advance some of the things that we have been learning. We will most likely take a short break from teaching on renovating the mind and elevating your life for next week's Bible study. For Mother's Day, glory to God, we're going to celebrate our women, have a glorious service on Sunday together. But the Lord's also put a word in my spirit that He wanted me to address, to minister to our women. This is a word from God's heart to every woman, every young woman, old woman, and girl. And I know men will be blessed by this as well. If you have a woman in your life, a girl in your life, this will be a word you should get in on. So make this a date with us by God's grace next week, Wednesday. We're going to get into that. The Lord's given me that word. I've titled it Your Highest Calling is Virtue. It's going to be a teaching. We're going to get in the Word. We're going to go scripture after scripture, and we're going to just receive the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There's just a lot of slightly deeper things that I know are not usually talked about regarding the life of the woman that the Lord wants me to address. And this is very unusual too. I don't remember when last He had me do something like this, but I'm excitedly looking forward to it. But for tonight, glory to God, let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer together. Father, we are so thankful. Hallelujah. We are so thankful to you. We appreciate you. We give you praise. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get around your word with the saints. Thank you, Father, for the things that have been prepared for us by the Holy Spirit. We yield to the Holy Spirit tonight. Have your way in our midst. Help us with humility of heart to be able to receive the things that you have prepared. We're so excited. We're so looking forward to it. And Father God, I ask of you that, Lord, you speak through my mouth, my vocal cords, that you think through my mind. Elevate us, Lord, in our thinking tonight. Let all of your people be blessed. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters, wherever they are, them and their loved ones, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon us here, as upon this word, to be upon their lives tonight. Grant us illumination and understanding. I give you the glory and the praise, O God, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. Let's go to our theme scriptures tonight. Last week, the Lord helped us to begin to put some meat on bones. I don't have time, much time for revision tonight, but last week was really more, it was really the entryway into some of the crucial things that we're getting into now in this series of our lesson. So let's look at a few scriptures that have become foundational scriptures for us. One of them in the Old Testament. Well, two of them, but I usually only read one of them, from Isaiah 55, from verse 8. The second one is Proverbs 23, verse 7. I usually don't read that. I just usually quote it as, a man thinketh in his heart or in his mind, so is he, so he is. Or as a woman thinks in his mind, so is she. I usually just quote that. I don't usually read it. I haven't read it in several weeks, and I won't do that tonight. But there's that. Those two scriptures in the Old Testament and about three or four of them in the New Testament that we have honed in on over the last several weeks that have become our foundational scriptures for this series of studies. Let's read those, and then let's get into it and talk about what is required of us. Humility and meekness. That's all that is required of us. The humility, the meekness, to be willing to embrace the Word of God, be willing to embrace whatever instruction, direction, correction that the Lord gives to us. The humility to say, I know my thoughts are not right, His thoughts are right. My ways are not right, His ways are right. Therefore, I'm going to do what He says. I'm going to think the way He says for me to think. That humility is required for that. And when we have that humility and we embrace the Word of God, then the two major ways that the renovation of the mind happens, that we talked a lot about last week, we're going to mention that and then move on on this journey tonight. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." His thoughts are not our thoughts, our ways are not His ways. Glory to God. But He does want our thoughts to become His thoughts. He does want His ways to become our ways. Amen. Because when that happens, then our lives will really prosper. We will really become everything that God has ordained for us to become. His word will produce in our lives. His word will prosper in our lives. His word will produce fruit in our lives. Amen. Everything that the Lord sends His word to accomplish in our lives will be accomplished, will be produced. Glory to God. There'll be awesome miracles and manifestations. Amen and amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy. These are some of our, they've been our foundational scriptures in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's just read this from the King James and the Amplified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 7, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. A spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. We have been given the gift of a sound mind. The sound mind that we have been given is the mind of Christ. Glory to God. Let's read this from the Amplified. "For God did not give to us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." There's so many things that are not compatible with the mind of Christ that we have been given. with the sound mind, soundness of mind that we are beginning. We have a long list. We've gone through many of these lists over the last several weeks. If you are just joining us tonight, you're new to these studies, we've had 9 sessions that are foundational. I encourage you get on our podcast, listen. And even if you have joined us previously and you've been following along, those podcasts are just so powerful. They're just so awesome. It's powerful to just go back and listen again. Every time I go back and listen to the teachings again, it builds something stronger, builds something greater within me. Glory to God. We have not been given. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, cowardice, craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm, a calm and well-balanced mind and of discipline and self-control. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. These have been our foundational scriptures from the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. This one more recently. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. And in the Amplified, it says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Let Jesus be your example in humility. Now, when we let, you see, the word let means we have something to do with this. God is not going to force on us the mind of Christ. Sometimes believers say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. No, that's conditional. You don't just automatically have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ if you play your role in this. What is your role in this? Humility. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. We have to embrace humility, embrace the spirit of humility and put it on in order for us to receive the mind of Christ. Now, when we embrace humility and put it on, then we will take on and we will have the mind of Christ, like it tells us, glory to God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, hallelujah, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 15, let's take it from verse 14. In the King James, it says, but the natural mind, as we have read this sometimes, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they have not put on the garment of humility and they have not yielded to the Holy Spirit. The natural mind or man or woman does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can't appreciate them. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual, he who has a spiritual mind, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no one. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Say that with me, I have the mind of Christ. Amen. When you've taken on the spirit of humility and you've embraced the word of God with a meek attitude, with meekness, that word, and then you have committed to yielding to the Holy Spirit and doing that word will save your soul. Then you will have the mind of Christ. Amen. We don't have the mind of Christ when we are doing our own thing. We don't have the mind of Christ when we are unyielded to the Holy Spirit. We don't have the mind of Christ when we are walking in our own way. We don't have the mind of Christ when we are stubborn. We don't have the mind of Christ when we are walking in our own self plans, when we are not carrying our cross every day and following him, like Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, We don't have the mind of Christ. When we are allowing the world to influence our thinking, even though we are believers, and we are continuing to think like the world thinks, or like we were raised to think, like we grew up all our lives to think, surrounded by negative, ungodly, unspiritual influences, custom, tradition, led by all of those things and not by the Holy Spirit, we don't have the mind of Christ. We don't have the mind of Christ if we are led by the world. No, we don't have the mind of Christ, but we do have the mind of Christ when we have taken on the garment of humility and we have allowed the mind of Christ and the Word of God to find a resting place in our heart. Look at the Amplified in 1 Corinthians 2:15 and 16. But the spiritual man or mind tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things. Yet he is himself put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and the purposes of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ the Messiah, and we do hold the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of his heart. How do we have the mind of Christ? Because like in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, we have obeyed the word in humility. We have taken on the spirit of humility, where he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have embraced the word with meekness, and we align the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 8. This is another one of those foundational scriptures. We haven't read this in a while, but let's read it tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, Romans 8 verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To have the mind of Christ is to be spiritually minded. To let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus is to be spiritually minded. To be yielded to the Holy Spirit and to do the word, to be a doer of the word, is to be spiritually minded. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Glory to God. You can take control. You can have control. You can exercise control over your mind and over what you think. You have the empowerment. When you have the mind of Christ, you have the empowerment from the Holy Spirit to think like God. You have the empowerment from the Holy Spirit to take control of your thoughts. You can take control of your thoughts. We begin to get into that meat and that bone tonight. We started from last week, but we get into it tonight further. You can take control of your thoughts. You can let the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Word of God, the regeneration, the washing of regeneration by the water of the Word of God, and the renovation and transformation of the Holy Spirit, you can allow those two processes to go on in your life, in your mind, by affecting how you think, what you think, and by affecting the thoughts that rule in your mind, the thoughts that rule your life. Because as you think, that's what you will become. If you think thoughts like God thinks, you will become more like God. And you become like God created and destined you to be. If you are carnally minded and you continue to make excuses and you are not open to being corrected, you are not open to change, in your mind and in your thinking, it's this is the way we work. I've always been, this is the way we, you know, nothing, there's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. Well, the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. That means you are going to be producing death, spiritual death. God has life and peace for you. God has shalom for you. But you will be so separated from the shalom of God. You'll be so separated from the life of God. You will not be able to enjoy the blessings of abundant life, the Zoe life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, but I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You may have it till it overflows, to the full till it overflows, it says in Amplified. You may have it in abundance. That abundant life is the will of God for you. That abundant life can only come through a mind that is yielded to God. A mind that thinks like God. A mind that is under the control of the Holy Spirit. A carnally minded person cannot enjoy abundant life. They can be in the church. They may have been in the church for 50 years. They may have been in the church. They may be ministers. They may be singers. They may be preachers. They may be prayer warriors. They may be people that carry a big Bible. It doesn't matter. A carnally minded man or woman cannot enjoy abundant life. They will be broke. They will suffer under poverty. They will suffer from bad habits. Their mouth will not glorify God. Their words will not glorify God. Their words will not edify the church, will not edify the brethren. They'll be stubborn. They'll act the flesh out all the time. They'll make excuses. And then they'll be besieged by fear and anxiety. And Satan will torment them. Satan will have all the openings he needs to torment them, to invade their lives continually. My friends, that's not you and that's not me. Jesus died. He died for too much. He died to give to us abundant life. We must not leave that abundant life on the table. We must not give up anything that Jesus died to give to us. Not leave it on the table. A life of peace and joy. Glory to God. Let's look at this. You can control your thoughts. You can determine what you think. This is the last one of those foundational scriptures. I just put them all together tonight for us. Before we launch into the next thing that the Lord has prepared for us from last week. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You can determine what you think. You can take control of your thoughts. You can determine what you think. Think. The Bible says you think. You control what you think. You determine what you think. Don't let the devil put thoughts in your mind that then rule your mind. Don't let the world put thoughts in your mind that rule your mind. You determine what you think. You think on these things, it says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's take quickly this fundamental thing that we learned last week, so crucial. What is the requirement for the renovation of our minds? Humility. Humility. Now, what is humility? We've talked about that. Now, when we embrace the word of God with meekness and humility, then the Holy Spirit and the word of God, they do a work of renovation. It's a supernatural work. You see, when that work is done, and it's not done until we leave this earth, but it's an ongoing work that continues to tear down the fabric of the old things that we have had piled up in our mind and rebuilding the mind of Christ within us. It's an ongoing work. It's an ongoing work. Glory to God. In James chapter 1, let's read that real quickly. In James chapter 1, from verse 19. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 from verse 19. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of God does not work the righteousness of God. Verse 21, therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It says to receive the word of God with all meekness. With meekness, receive the engrafted word with meekness, and that engrafted word will save our souls. We've talked a lot about this. How does the word sozo our souls? How does it bring salvation, deliver us? We've learned from the example of Lot and Mrs. Lot. Those were two prime examples we studied. How the Bible says their minds were just offended, were just abused, were just tired, were just distressed, aggravated from all the evil influences around them. Their minds needed to be saved. Their souls needed to be delivered. Glory to God. When we have meekness and humility, then the Lord can do, the Word of God can bring that renovation, can bring that renewal. What are the two processes, the two ways in which this renovation happens? We've looked at that. Number one, through the washing of regeneration by the water of the Word of God. To do the Word. When we do the Word regenerates us and cleanses us and washes us in our minds. When we are doers of the Word changes us from the inside out. That's number one. By the washing of regeneration by the water of the Word of God. We're going to read that scripture in Titus in just a minute. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And number two, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, or as we defined it or explained it last week, by the renovation and transformation of the Holy Spirit. These are the two ways. This is how we got saved. This is how our spirits were made new from the beginning when we gave our lives to Christ. It's the same way in which our minds are made new on an ongoing basis. The washing of regeneration by the water of the Word of God, the renewing or the renovation or the transformation of the Holy Spirit. Let's read in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. It says, but after the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This is the open door into the next set of things we'll begin to talk about. I know that last week we closed that in Romans chapter 12. We're going to go and read that as well. That's where it talks about the transformation, the metamorphosis that happens in our mind through the Word of God and through the work of the Holy Spirit, the washing of regeneration by the water of the Word and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, or renovation and transformation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now let's read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Actually, if you don't mind, let's take it from verse 16, because I think I might reference this towards the end. I don't know that I'll have the time to come back and read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, let's take it from verse 14. Glory to God. From verse 14. This is so powerful. This is so awesome. This is so powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 14. But their minds were blinded. When a mind is not yielded to God, when a mind is not controlled by the Holy Spirit, when the mind is not controlled by the Word of God, is blinded. When a mind is not renovated by the Word of God, is blinded. And if a mind is not renovated then that life is not elevated. That life is not the higher. You cannot live the highest quality of life that God has purposed for us. We've studied this quite a bit. But look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. But their minds, talking about the Old Testament, and the people who looked upon Moses had to put a veil upon their minds, upon their heart, upon their eyes. But the mind, their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil on taking away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. When he saved us, made us new creatures, he took that veil away. He took away the blindfold. He took away the darkened glasses that stopped us from seeing the light of the Word of God. Jesus took it away. Hallelujah. Verse 15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, that veil is upon their heart. The veil is on their heart and is on their mind and is in their conscience. So that veil needs to be taken away. And how do we take it away? Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, what is it that is turning to the Lord? That mind that is veiled and blinded. When that mind shall turn to the Lord, then what will happen? The veil will be taken away. How is the mind turned to the Lord? By humility. Humility is required to embrace meekness, to embrace the Word of God, and to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. That's how the mind is turned to the Lord. And when the mind is turned to the Lord, the Bible says the veil, the blindfold of the enemy, the destructive blindfold of the enemy upon the mind will be taken away. How is it taken away? Here, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's liberty. The Amplified Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, in verse 17, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, and freedom. The reason I wanted to read this verse tonight, because when we begin to talk about the steps tonight, glory to God, I know our time is going, but I'm gonna squeeze as much of it as I can before I hit 50 minutes. When we begin to talk about the steps to renovating the mind, the actual steps to renovate what we do. When the Bible says, but be doers of the word, we embrace the word of God with meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, and be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, because only the doers of the word are blessed. When we begin to talk about the steps, what we do, number one is we must come with humility. We must constantly have the spirit of humility and embrace the spirit of humility so that we can receive the mind of Christ. But then there are steps that help us along in the renovation of our minds. We get into that tonight. This scripture becomes extremely important because these steps we will talk about are things that believers need to do on an ongoing basis to turn their minds to the Lord. To turn their mind to thinking the word, the thoughts of God, to turn their minds to walking in the ways of God, so that their minds can be renovated. However, I want you to also be aware that because of the stronghold of the enemy on minds, this stronghold that he has held for such a long time, there are a lot of believers who have just never really had freedom in their minds. They've just never had the liberty, the emancipation that comes from the Holy Spirit to have freedom in the mind. They've always been in bondage, and they've been in bondage for so many years. When bondage is tolerated for a long time, we studied this, I think about a year or 2 years ago, when we were learning about spiritual authority and dominion. How Satan camps out in a place when you as a Christian give the devil a place, a terrain in your life. be it in your mind, be it in your habits, be it in some things you do, be it in the way you talk, be it in certain things that you tolerate in your life. And this can be in the family as well. Sometimes families, you know, open doors to the devil. And those doors then become the access point that Satan takes advantage of to keep believers in bondage, to keep people in that family in bondage. You've heard about generational yokes and generational curses. A lot of this we studied when we studied about spiritual authority and dominion. The secret and the mystery to generational curses and generational yokes is a lot of what we're talking about in this series of studies, right? When Satan gains access to a life, a mind, a way of thinking, a way of behaving, a way of talking, a way of acting, and then he gains control over that life, there are bondages that are formed in that life, in those lives. Those bondages, when they have existed for a long period of time, those bondages are not easily dissolved. You can't just take these steps that we're talking about beginning tonight and say, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, you may actually need to have someone minister to you to break those bondages and destroy those strongholds first. When there is a bondage and everything is knotted up and tied and it's just, you can't see the head, you can't see the tail, you can't see the front, you can't see the back. It's just so knotted. And you see that in people's lives who just can't break free. They just can't break. No matter what they try, they can't break free from certain things. If somebody is bound in the yoke of anxiety, they've carried that bondage for many years. When you carry that yoke of bondage for many years, whether it's anxiety or fear, you see some people with under the bondage of fear, no matter what sermons they hear, no matter what messages they listen to, they just can't seem to break free from it. You know why? Because that bondage of fear has existed in their lives for so many years. Satan has camped out in that area of their lives and in their minds. He will not let go. So that has become a stronghold. When there's a stronghold in a life, that stronghold must be busted. It has to be busted. You can't hope your way into freedom. No, you cannot. You know that. You know how many sermons, how many messages, how many teachings people have heard, and yet they can break free. This habit, sometimes habits, alcoholism and drugs and all these sometimes crazy tendencies, depression and manic behaviors and many of these things that take over the minds of people. Schizophrenia. Is it? Is that what it is? Right? People talk about double personalities. People, all sorts of things that people are in bondage to in their mind. They are trying so hard to break free. They're like that man in Mark chapter 5 who's trying so hard to break free. But they can't. The reason they can't is because there's a stronghold in the mind. Satan has camped out there for so many years. There's now a hold. It's a hold, and it is a very strong one. He has access. He's like, he says, that is my room. That is my home. I have authority. You know, like that demonic spirit, that story, that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, when a demonic spirit is driven out from a life, he goes through dry places, he finding no resting place, he comes back to that home where he was driven away from. And if he comes there and the place is neat, it's clean, it's garnished, then what does he do? He goes back and he brings seven, many other demonic spirits, even worse than him, and they camp out there. And now Jesus said the latter state of that person is worse than the beginning. Why? Because there is a hold, and it is a very strong hold. And so what must happen? There must be a freedom ministry. There must be an exercise of freedom. The power of God. Somebody has to minister. We have to bust that stronghold. If you are under a stronghold, So many people, I'm seeing things in my spirit as I'm ministering to you right here. I'm seeing faces, and I'm seeing people, young people and older people, and I'm seeing bondages that people have tolerated for so many years. The enemy has taken hold of their minds and they can't seem to break free. You've got to bust that stronghold. You can't do it yourself. Somebody has got to minister to you and break that stronghold of the enemy. You can't allow embarrassment and shame and all of that. No, you've got to go and, you know, go somewhere to a minister who knows these things that we're talking about tonight and who has the authority of God in their lives. And you've got to ask for ministry. That's a lot of what we're talking about tonight, and a lot of what we'll talk about over the next few weeks as we continue on in this journey, in this aspect of this journey and beyond, is a lot of the truth encounter that comes to help us dissolve the mind, but dissolve the stronghold of the enemy in our mind, or dissolve the influence, the great influence that Satan has over the mind. But this truth encounter sometimes really does need. Just needs a busting out. Just a power of God that busts the stronghold of the devil. You know when a pipe is clogged? Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know when a plumbing pipe is clogged? You can find a way. You can use a, sometimes we can use a plunger. You can use, maybe it's something's clogged. Sometimes if it's not a very big clog, sometimes you use that plunger for a while. It pushes it off. Sometimes, you know, with these things to open sinks, open plumbings and pipes, you know, chemicals that are strong that you pour, if like something in your bathtub, the water is gathered there, it's just not moving. Hair sometimes and different debris sometimes, you know, you can do different little things and eventually open up that drain that was clogged. But sometimes when the clog is such a bad clog, it has formed a major stronghold somewhere along that pipe. I don't care how many plungers and how much power you use in plunging. You know that thing will not open up. You need someone, you need a plumbing company to come in there and snake that thing. They will put a snake into that thing. They will push something into that thing and bust that clog. This is what needs to happen when there are strongholds in the mind and people have been in bondage to certain ways of living and certain ways of thinking, and their minds have been conditioned for many years, some of them from childhood, and they came into Christ, but they just never were exposed to a lot of what we're teaching about in this series of messages. Or those who were exposed to it just kept making excuses and just would not make the changes that were necessary. Well, over a period of time, that stronghold becomes very strong. The clog in the pipe of their minds becomes so strong that you just listen to a teaching like this, as powerful, as awesome as it is, and it is just not going to, you need something to bust that stronghold. Bust it. And then when you bust it, then teachings like this can keep it clear, can keep the flow of water going and everything. But first, you need a major bust, a major surge of power. The Bible says right here, where the Spirit, the Lord is that Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. A lot of people need emancipation from bondage. A lot of people need emancipation from bondage. A lot of people need yokes to be destroyed in their minds. Well, there's no shame in that. There's no embarrassment in that. If you need that, you've got to go get that. Oh my goodness, I spent so much time in that. I spent so much time there. I didn't intend to, but I think the Holy Spirit wanted me to. He says, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. Verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed. Notice that word, we are changed. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The word there, change, is the Greek word metamorpho, is the word transform, to radically change something. There are three major places in which this word metamorpho shows up in the New Testament. Three major instances. Two of them we have already read. Well, one of them we have already read, right? We've seen right here where it talks about metamorphosis. We are radically changed by the Spirit of the Lord into that same image from glory to glory. We are changed. The second place is in Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. And the third place in the Synoptic Gospels is where the Bible tells us about the transfiguration of Christ. Glory to God. I see what's going on here. It's just no way I'm going to get into some of the things I plan to get into tonight. I'm just going to touch a little bit. Just touch a little bit of some of it. But I want you to see this word is a very powerful word. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Our minds can become radically changed, transformed. That word called translated changed is the word transformed. In fact, in the Amplified, it uses the word transfigured. And that word transfigure is what we see in the Synoptic Gospels, where it talks about when Jesus was transfigured. Remember when he took three of his disciples, they went up to the top of the mountain. And he was in a place and suddenly the glory of God came, splendor came, Elijah showed up, Moses showed up. They started to have conversations with him. Peter was so overwhelmed. He was so overtaken by what, in fact, the Bible said the disciples were so afraid. But Peter was the one, he was so overwhelmed by what he said, Lord, let's build three tabernacles. Let's build one for you. Let's build one for Elijah. Let's build one for Moses. Let's just stay here forever. He didn't think about himself, about you, Peter. He didn't think about, let's just build three tabernacles for the three of you and let us just watch you forever. It was such a glorious experience. The Bible says that the garment of Jesus was changed. It became radiant white. The splendor was awesome. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. That was the transfiguration of Jesus. This is what happens when our minds become renovated. Our minds take on the glory of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our minds are radically changed. That if you look at who you are today, and you compare who you are today to who you were maybe 5 years ago, who you were 10 years ago, who you were 15 years ago, or who you were 20 years or 35 years ago, it's a total radical change. You almost cannot recognize yourself. It's a total radical change. Your mind has been transfigured. That's why we call it renovating the mind. It was the fabric, old fabric of the mind was torn down and a new structure was built up by the power of the Holy Spirit. The renovation of the mind. Let's read this in the Amplified. Oh my goodness, we're 50 minutes already. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. And all of us, as with unveiled faces, because we continue to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's how that mind, our entire lives, but mainly the mind. Remember in this scripture I was talking about the mind? Remember where we started from? That's why I wanted us to read verse 40. I kept backing up. Talking about their minds were blinded. It's talking about the glory of God that comes on the mind. When we begin, when we where we're able to think like God, when we're able to take on the mind of Christ. Let's go. Let's stop in Romans 12. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. I can't get there tonight. I can't get to any of those steps, and I can't even get to the preliminary, because the preliminary I wanted us to deal with tonight is discussing breaking those strongholds before those six steps that must be ongoing to renew our minds, renovate our minds on an ongoing basis for every believer every day. I wanted us to put some light on how we bust the power of the stronghold of the enemy on our minds when there have been yokes in the mind. I've talked a little bit about it tonight, but I wanted to show you, well, this would have been one of the scriptures. With the one in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse from 14 to 18, which we've read. But I really wanted to delve a little bit more into it. There's at least a little bit more deliberate than that, but that's fine. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and close out there tonight. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12, from verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed, that's the word metamorpho, is the Greek word metamorpho, transfigured or radically changed. Be ye transformed by the renewing or renovation or transformation of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can see, if we're not renovated in our minds, we cannot prove the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, the perfect. You cannot enter it. That means you can't experience it if we're not radically transformed and renovated in our mind. Now, I want you to look at verse 3, because when it says in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, transfigured, metamorphosis. We should actually talk about that a little bit, metamorphosis, a change, a complete change in form. We should read the explanation of that Greek word, metamorphosis, metamorpho, right? We will. The Lord will help us get there next time. But when it says that be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now look in verse 3, because it's basically talking about the mind, to be transfigured in our mind, to be transformed in our mind. Look at it. For I say, verse 3, through the grace that is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice there, right after he talks about the transformation of the mind or the transformation of the life, not being conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, he begins to talk about how we think. How we think. When our minds are renovated and transformed by the washing of regeneration by the water of the word, number one, and two, by the renovation, the renewing and the transformation of the Holy Spirit, then we will take on the mind of Christ. We will be able to prove and to experience the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. We'll be able to live free in our minds and in every area of our lives. We'll be able to enter into the fullness, the best life, best quality of life that God ordained for us, that Jesus died to give to us. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We give you the glory and the praise. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your holy word that we have received. We receive it tonight with heart of humility. We embrace it with meekness. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. We continually yield to him. We continually yield to him. Father, we thank you for the mighty blessings of your word. I give you praise for all of my brothers and sisters tonight, everyone that has been under the sound of my voice. Let this word continue to reverberate through their spirits over the next several days and weeks I give you the praise and I give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Whew, glory to God. Thank you so much, saints, for being with us tonight. We're out of time. So we've gone over our time tonight. But God is good. All is well. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.